Amen. Thanks, guys. Yo, what an awesome time in worship, eh? I felt a word in worship. I heard the words, a question. It says, do you enjoy God? I think it's like, obviously it came through beautifully in the words that was that were shared. But I just, yeah, maybe just answer that question in your heart. Is, do you enjoy God? I got a picture of robots walking like in perfect lines to this king and bowing down, like everyone perfectly bowing down, but it was like mechanical, and it was like they had to, like they were programmed to walk in this. And then I saw someone dancing down the aisle, and I just felt the words like, do you enjoy God? Look, guys, God didn't create us to be mechanical and to worship Him like you have to do it. It's like part of your routine. Like I have to read 15 minutes, read, and then I have to pray 15 minutes, and then I have to do this, and then I have to do this. Just felt encouragement for you guys is, do you enjoy God? It's been a challenge for me this year in the elders camp earlier in the year. Yo, I was convicted. I was so convicted. One of the guys shared a picture of the temple, and the temple with the different sections. And obviously we know that one of these sections are the holy place where the priests would go and minister. And the guy asked the question, he says, what is the amount of time that you spend for us as elders? What is the amount of time that you spend in the holy place versus the amount of time that you spend in the Holy of Holies? And he paraphrased the scripture that I will never forget it. You know that scripture where he says, depart from me, I never knew you. He paraphrased it. He said, I haven't seen you in the Holy of Holies. And that is a challenge for elders, but it's definitely a challenge for all of us. God actually don't need us. He wants to use us, but He doesn't need us. The thing that He wants more than that is for us to want to spend time with Him. And it's hard work, but I've been re-watching Uncle Will's preaches and one of his famous phrases that he said, if you don't feel like doing something, keep on doing it until you feel like doing it. And for me, it's a thing of just, I'm going to that holy place. And it's uncomfortable. My flesh screams against it, but it gets easier as you go in, as you go in, as you go in. That has got nothing to do with my message, but I just felt that I need to share it. So, I would just like to introduce myself. There's a lot of new faces here. My name is Johandre Visser. Like Marco, we usually say Marco. I'm Johandre. I am Afrikaans. I have a wife and two daughters. They left, they're in the toddler room. They went to the toddler room. It is my girl's second sermon for the day, so we don't want to exhaust them. So Anita said she'll listen from there. But I have a timer. I have actually a close connection to you guys. I was in Durbanville PM for 3 years. Yay! And then I felt the Lord lead me to Brackenfell back then. And Brackenfell was the church that Ants led, and it just became a Josh Jen church. And then eventually the Brackenfell, we lost the venue and we came here and we become Pinehurst PM. And I spent 6 years in that congregation. And now it's about a year, it's almost a year, like the 16th of March would be a year that me and my wife, or I lead the Malmesbury congregation, and my wife supports me in that. I can't believe it's a year. It's really the years. And just to give you guys a little bit feedback, for those of you who are wondering, it's really, really, really hard work in Malmesbury. It's very hard work. It is a spiritually dead town. Very religious town. Spirit, nothing. They call us, there's a joke, they call us the Crocodile Church. It's because we just want to pull people to the water and baptize them. So I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God for the supernatural in that town. Because the thing is, Paul says, I didn't come here with eloquent words and arguments. I came here with power. And people can't deny power. They can call us the happy clappy and this and this. But if someone couldn't see and we pray for them, that person can see. Not physically, I mean physically, not spiritually, physically. And people can see it. You can't deny it. And so I'm really trusting, really, really praying. So if you guys want to pray for us, then please do. 2 weeks ago, some of you guys were there with Brett, and we got, I think it was, what's your name? Rudy. Rudy shared a word on, he could see the hard ground, and we like busy with a puck. What's a puck in English? With that thing? And as we're doing it, just makes like a white line, you know, that blink strip, you know? I could see it when he... And today we got a word from Patty. So Roland and Patty was with us this weekend. And Patty shared a word. She said that the Lord is busy toiling the ground. And he's just ahead of us. And so that was a wonderful encouragement. So our challenge is to plow where he is toiling and not try and... or plant where he is toiling and not... plant there and he's there. So please pray for us. We really need it. As you can hear, I am Afrikaans. In Malmesbury is also Afrikaans. And I preach in Afrikaans. So my English is not as good as it used to be. Penny will tell you that I used to speak the language beautifully. But now I'm a little bit rusting now, so, but I trust in any way that the Holy Spirit will speak much louder than I could in your heart. So someone once told me that they called me, I preached, shared a message, and then they came to me afterwards and they said, you are like a Barnabas. And I was like, what does that mean? And I went to look it up, and Barnabas means son of encouragement. And I quite like that. I quite like to, and that's what I want to do tonight. I want to encourage you with a prophetic word. So tonight is not a teaching. It is a prophetic word of encouragement, of exhortation, that I really felt for you guys specifically as you are about to plant out into actually 3 new congregations. I don't think it's like a staying. I think it's like everyone is planting. I'm going to share the message from Matthew 5. And I want to just put it to you, like if you're not busy with a reading program at the moment or you kind of don't know what to read, I want to encourage you guys, spend some time this week meditating on Matthew 5 and Matthew 6. It's known as the Sermon on the Mount. And it's, the Lord has been showing me a lot of great stuff in those 2 chapters. And so the title of my message is called The Upside Down Kingdom. It's called The Upside Down Kingdom. And I actually, before I go into Matthew 5, I would like to actually start in Matthew 4, verse 25. So it's towards the end. Probably I think it's the last verse just before we get Matthew 5. And it says, I like that. That's lekker. Huh? I don't have to turn my back on you. A great crowd, but I can also read here. Great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. And so before I go into Matthew 5, I just would like to sketch the context, the scenario of the crowd. So in today's terms, Jesus would have been a popular guy back then. He would have a massive Instagram following. His TikTok would have exploded. Because we read there that great crowds followed him. And the reason for that is because he was popular. He was this carpenter who arrived on the scene. He started healing people. He performed miracles. He did the impossible. And for Israel back then, they needed someone like that. They were under severe oppression by Rome. They longed for restoration. They longed for autonomy, to be freed from Rome. And so I want you to picture this setting. It's Jesus walking, and there's this massive crowd following him, like massive crowd. I don't know, the Bible doesn't specify how many people, but it is a massive crowd following him. And he sees this massive crowd, and he walks up the mountain, and he sits down. So back then, the Jewish people, when a rabbi wanted to teach, he sat down. I once saw something, David Pawson, towards the end of his life, he also sat down to preach, and he said, yeah, I'm like Jesus, because I'm sitting and preaching. I would never be able to do that. I know Brett wouldn't be able to do that. So Jesus sat down, and I want you to just imagine the setting. I think the expectation of the crowd would have been like a type of Martin Luther speech or a Nelson Mandela speech, like a strategy, like Jesus is about to give them a strategy for national revival. You know, like a 7-point plan for sorting out all their problems. Because the reason why they would think that is because John Piper says that Israel is a showcase. God had a showcase covenant with them. He had a come and see covenant with them. So it was like, obey me, follow my commands, and I will bless you. And it will go good with you. It will goed gaan met julle. And so it didn't go well with them. So they would probably, okay, here's this guy. He's clearly from God. He's a prophet. He performs miracles. So he's going to lead us into that place, back into that place of being blessed. Amen? You get what I'm saying? But Jesus shares in that moment, Matthew 5, verse 2, shares something completely different to what they expected. He, and I'm not going to read everything, but I'm just going to skim. We'll come back to this. But in he said in verse 3, he started and he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when others revile you. I don't think that they expected that. So Jesus actually said, guys, you don't understand this kingdom. You're waiting for a kingdom pretty much the same as the world expects a kingdom to look like. Being blessed means prosperity. But Jesus comes and he shares something completely different. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Huh? That's radical for that time. Just picture yourself back there. So people would have thought like, no man, we're not going to follow this guy. We don't want to be poor in spirit. We don't want to be meek. We don't want to be peacemakers. We want to enforce the peace. We want to destroy the people in front of us. And so Jesus comes and he shares with them an upside down kingdom. A kingdom that is totally not like the world would expect. And even today, and guys, I want to say this, it creeps into the church. If you don't have to look far, you can just scroll on your YouTube shorts or on TikTok, and you see teachings of people that have this kingdom the wrong way around. They want to replicate the world's idea of being blessed. They want to replicate it in church. I'm going to say that is not how Jesus works. If the Israelites were living today, and we are, a lot of us are like this. We see being blessed as vacations overseas, and big houses, and new cars, and job promotions, and hashtag blessed, with new sneakers or with whatever. For them, it was probably like economic prosperity or comfort or whatever. But guys, we serve a Jesus that is the King of the upside down kingdom. We serve a King that says, those who want to be first must be last. We serve a King where leaders are servants. We serve a King where the persecuted earn eternal blessing. John 16 verse 33, it says, in this world you will have, not you might have, in this world you will have tribulations, but take heart, I have overcome this world. And Jesus himself demonstrates this, and it always baffles me, the King of the universe. Colossians 1:16 says, all things, whether in heaven and earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones, dominions, or rulers, or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And this King comes, and he washes the disciples' feet. He arrives in Jerusalem on a donkey. Really? On a donkey. And he gave his life. Remember, often hear Andrew Selly say, the way up is to go down. This is the upside down kingdom. And it really is a thing of, so someone once told me that God wants to bless us far more than we actually want to be blessed. So that's not the thing. It's not like God doesn't want to bless us. The real question is actually, when do we want that blessing? I want you to think, to ponder on that question. When do we want that blessing? See, you can have it now, or you can have it later. And if you have it now, you might lose it later. There's a story of the prodigal son. We all know the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. You don't have to put it up. But he goes to his father and he says, give me my portion of the property now. He demands his blessing now. And the father is a good father. He's a gracious father. And he gives him his blessing. And if we read the story, he lost it all, squanders it, ends up in a pigsty. Father took him back, but that part of the property was gone. Father restored him, but he lost out on some of his inheritance. See, if you want your blessing now, you might get it now. And it will cost you later. Another good example of this is Jesus. Jesus is, in Matthew 4, he's in the wilderness. And Satan comes to him. And he says, he takes him up to, where does he take him? On the temple. And he says, look at all the kingdoms of the world. If you bow to me, I will hand these kingdoms over to you. And Jesus refused. Because Hebrews 12:22 says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus could have said, okay, give me that blessing now. But it says no. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And Paul, even Paul witnessed to this in Romans 8 verse 18. He says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time is not worth comparing with the glory that awaits us. Such a powerful, whenever I go through tough times, and I, as a lead elder, you go through tough times. Guys, you can't explain it to anyone. You just worry. I told Roland this weekend, if you lead a church is the last thing you think of, and it's in the night, in the evenings, and it's the first thing you think of when you wake up. So it's tough sometimes. Sometimes it's glorious. People respond well. You are just walking on a cloud. But then sometimes it's like, Lord, I know the suffering of this world is not compared to the glory that awaits me. There's a scripture that really frightens me if I read it. And Brett also mentioned it 2 weeks ago, Romans 1:21, where if we go a little bit past that, but anyway, so between somewhere in Romans 1:21-24, it says, it speaks about God handing them over to the desires of their heart. Oh, that's a scary, scary verse, guys. Because the Bible also says that the heart is deceitful above all else. And so I can't trust my heart. I don't want to be handed over to the desires of this thing. My heart desires selfishness and anger and not lack of stuff. I don't want to be handed over to those things. And I want to say, if you insist on your blessing now, God might give it to you. God might hand you over to the desires of your heart. And so, I said it will be an encouraging message. It is an encouraging message. Just, I am busy encouraging you. I don't know if you remember Preacher's Club. There used to be Preacher's Club on a Saturday, and I went there and they asked us to prepare a 10-minute message, and I shared the message. And when I sat down, can't remember the guy's name, Els, he's in Durbanville AM, Ruan put his hand up, he said, it just felt like I got a hiding now, but I liked it. So I tend to be a little bit intense, I'm sorry. I am busy being encouraging, you'll see now. where am I? Okay. So my encouragement to you guys is this, and I specifically felt this as I prepared. I actually felt this 2 weeks ago. So I was here 2 weeks ago, but then Brett decided that Russell should preach and not me. I tried to convince him. No, I'm joking. He can have the mic before me any day. But so it was actually, the Lord is actually busy with this word in me for you guys specifically. It's not just I feel it specifically for you guys. As you plant out now, as you go into these different areas. And guys, it will be uncomfortable. I stayed in Kells River and I drove here. It's a sacrifice. I promise you, I leave here and I'll be in Malmesbury before the guys from Kells River are here. In traffic. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. But I want to say this. You can grab a hold of your comfort now. You can settle. You can say, Lord, let's secure ourselves. Let's prioritize our comfort. Or you can wait. And I prophetically felt that God say, I see your sacrifice. I see the cost. I see your obedience. But God is asking you just a little bit longer. Just hold on. Just keep going a little bit longer. Because there's a wonderful blessing in Matthew 5:11-12. It says, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice every time you get in the car and you sit in traffic to Kells River. Rejoice and be glad. Why? Not because the ride is lekker, but because your reward is great in heaven. Your reward is great in heaven. Very often we associate Matthew, or we apply Matthew 6:19-20 to finances, to money. Where it says, do not lay up treasures for yourself on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. And I actually, as I read that, I actually felt every sacrifice, every moment when you're obedient, every inconvenience is like a deposit into your eternal 401k pension fund, what do you call it? It's like a deposit there, and God sees it. And so what does this future blessing look like? Let's go back to Matthew 5, 3 to 11. And it's like Jesus shares them, what does it look like to be blessed? But he also shares this future blessing. So if you do this now, if you endure now, this is the thing that awaits you. And it's this: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Beautiful. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I want to be comforted by God. Not by food or a Hilux bucky or a caravan or holidays in Italy or France. Where did you go? It's going for work, going for work, it's going for work. I want to be comforted by God. This, for me, there's always one of the most beautiful scriptures in this whole Bible. It's in Revelation 21, verse 4. It says, and he will wipe every tear from our eyes. I want that. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I want to be called a son of God. That's my main mission. Like I always tell people this. My father passed away when I was 15. And because of his life, I fear a midlife crisis. I fear big time. Because he lost the plot completely. And if you say, like, why do you lead a church? It's just one of the reasons is because I know that I won't have a midlife crisis. Because I'm not doing what I want to do. I do what God asked me to do. And so I can't go and say, oh, I'm questioning my life now. I was just obedient. And for me, the biggest fear is being on this planet for 80 years. Or 70 years, or how long ever, and then standing before God, and he says to me, you didn't do what I asked you to do. That's my biggest, like, I don't fear spiders and stuff. That's my biggest fear. It's actually not fearing God in that sense, but just running this race in vain. I mean, imagine wasting all this time. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And so I have two encouragements. The first one is this. Don't demand your part of the property now. Don't go and say, Lord, I deserve a little bit of comfort now. I deserve whatever. Just wait for it. Patiently wait for it. The second encouragement, and this will go quick, but if you continue reading in Matthew 5, 13 to 16, Jesus asks them to go and be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And it's my second encouragement to you guys. So as you patiently wait for your blessing, what do you do in the meanwhile? Do you just sit and wait? No. Go and be the salt. Go and be the light. And just very quickly, if we think of salt now, we think of enhancing flavor. But back then, salt was a very valuable commodity. Of course, newsflash, I know for you young guys, it might come as a shock, but they didn't have refrigerators back then, okay? Even when your father was small, they didn't have... I joke. So they use salt to preserve stuff. And so that's actually where the word salary comes from, because they used to pay the soldiers with salt because they could keep things from decaying. And so I believe, I might be wrong, but if I read this, happy to be wrong, but one of the things I think that Jesus meant when he said, be the salt, was to go and preserve the word in you. Don't allow it to die. Go and show the world. And there's a wonderful thing that I heard the other day. You guys know Wesley Huff? Wesley Howe, he's an apologist. I like watching his stuff. I watched a short clip of him, and he said there's 5 gospels. 4 of them is in the Bible. The 5th one is your life. And people can argue and create all kinds of debates and arguments against the 4, but they can't argue the change in your life. How often do we hear of someone, say for instance, family members, and the one gets saved and the other follow because of the change that they witness in that person's life? Your life is a gospel message that people can't deny. They can't deny a transformed life. So I want to encourage you, be the salt. And then lastly, Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father. I have a guy in our congregation, if I use the word good works, he gets like a... But it's here. Let the people see your good works. It's not for salvation. Yo, that was cool. I thought it's Jesus coming back. Anyway. James 2 verse 17 says, faith without works is dead. It's a dead faith. And so we're not speaking about salvation. It says, so that they may see your good works. Why? And give glory to the Father. Huh? So your good works is not about yourself. It's about glorifying the Father. So I want to encourage you guys, as you move into Brackenfell, as you move into Kells River, go and be the salt and be the light, so that people will see, observe your lives, that they will see your good works, and that they will glorify God. And I want to encourage you, you can say, Lord, I deserve to be rustig. I deserve to be comfortable. I want my blessing now. But I want to say to you this. You can have your blessing for 40, 50, 60 years. Or you can say, Lord, it's fine. I'll lay my life down. I'll die to live. I'll sacrifice a little bit longer. And you'll have your blessing eternally. Where there's no pain, no discomfort, no tears, no division. Where there's total unity, total harmony with the Father. Where there's perfect love and perfect satisfaction. There's a psalm that I want to read. And oh, for me, this psalm is just like the last 2 weeks. I'm just constantly going back to this psalm. Psalm 17, 14 and 15. Do you have it? In verse 14, David speaks about the people. It says there, can you maybe go back to 13? Is it possible? He speaks about the people that he's observing in the nations around him. And he says that the men of the world whose portion is in this life. Okay, let's start there. Arise, O Lord, comfort him. confront him, sorry. Subdue him, deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword. From the men by your hand, O Lord. From men of the world whose portion is in this life. Men who said, I want to live a blessed life now. You fill their womb with treasure, they are satisfied with children, and they leave their abundance to their infants. So there's that thing of the best thing that they can do is just leave an inheritance to their children. That's all they have. But verse 15 says, as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. And when I awake, I shall be satisfied in your likeness. It's just such a beautiful... David says, I don't want these things, the portion that you gave to those people.
I want to behold your face daily. I want to behold your face. And I know that one day, when I go to sleep and I wake up in another place, I will be satisfied forever. I wonder if we can close our eyes and... Yeah. I wanna maybe start with giving you the opportunity. If you're here and you don't know what I'm talking about, you're like, what is this? I've always just lived for myself. I've always just cared about tomorrow and this world. I want to encourage you by saying, Bible calls this, says that we are here today, we're gone tomorrow. Bible says our lives are like grass that withers. I remember I read a book, like the book that had an influential part of my salvation was, I can't remember the book, but the book was all about like influential people that were on their deathbed. And it recorded just their last words, like wealthy, successful people. And just for me, the thing that touched me was just all of these people said, I've wasted my life. I had all these possessions. I could go overseas 3 times a month, but I've wasted my life. And so I want to encourage you. The enemy is lying to you. He's telling you a lie by convincing you that it's all about this life. This life is like this and it's over. So I wanna encourage you. Now I would love to introduce you to Jesus. He's the author of life. He's the one that can satisfy fully. And we would love to pray with you. And I wanna ask this question and put it out there. If you wanna meet this Jesus, if you wanna say, Lord, this life just doesn't satisfy me, then I want to ask you if you would like to respond to that by just raising your hand. If there's anyone who would just say, I want to meet that Jesus. I remember the day when I got saved. I had this severe pressure on me to fit in with this particular crowd. And the Lord convicted me. And I decided in that moment, okay, Lord, I'll follow you. And I could just remember like a weight falling off me, you know, like a relief, knowing that I don't have to fit in anymore. I don't have to, because the cares of this world is weighing us down. And so I want to give you the opportunity. If the cares of this world are weighing you down, you just can't do this anymore, there's Jesus. And he promised life and life in abundance. And so I want to give a last opportunity. If there's anyone who would like to respond and say, Lord, I want to follow you. You don't have to feel like you have to know him. That's the beauty of it all. You start by saying, Lord, yes. And then he leads you. Anyone, last chance. I want to encourage you. If you want to raise your hand, but you just can't, please come speak to one of the leaders afterwards. It is really the best decision that you can make in this life. But I feel for the rest of us, yeah, I wanna pray for us. Yeah. Maybe I should ask you if you maybe there's a little bit of a a hesitation in your heart, or maybe a despondent, you may be despondent, or you like, maybe you sat there, I felt this during worship, I felt like there's people here that are just going along. They are just saying, okay, what is the most convenient place? Go into Google Maps. So I really want to give you an opportunity to repent. But knowing this, is that every single one of us have a part to play in this church plant. It's not just the leaders. Every single person have a part to play. We have this wonderful elderly couple in our congregation, and they are recent converts. They don't have any gifts, but just their presence. They come to us. If they're not there, we miss them. And it's not like they prophesy and they pray for healing or they do all the glamorous stuff. Just their being there blesses so many people. So I want to say, you don't have to be like a massively gifted person. It's just your willingness to serve. Just your heart posture. And so maybe that's you. Maybe you're like, Lord, what do I have to give? I want to pray for you. So why don't we all stand? I don't want to single people out, but I just maybe, if it's you, just respond now. Just open your heart and say, Lord, that's me. So maybe just be honest with the Lord. Say, Lord, oh man, this is uncomfortable. This is change. I don't like change. We don't like change. I love it, but a lot of people don't. And I just want to encourage you just a little bit longer. Oh, Jesus, it's always a wonderful thought that you use us, Lord. You don't need us, Father, but you use us. You choose to do life, to do this life with us. You use people. And Lord, like that picture that I shared in the beginning of this one person running down the aisle, I just felt like there's a lot of people here. Just the fact that you worship God will get other people to glorify God. I really feel to tell you guys that even if you think you are the last of all these people in this building, the last will be first. Gideon said, I'm the last of my family. I'm the least of my family. My family is the last of Israel. Is it me? And God used him. God used him. I actually want to say, if you think you have nothing to contribute, that's a good place to start. Because God doesn't want other people who are arrogant. God first needs to deal with the arrogance. He first needed to send Moses to the desert for 40 years to kill him so that he can come back and use him. So I want to encourage you, if you feel like I have nothing to contribute, that's a great place to start. All God wants is a willing heart. That's all he wants. He just wants men and women that says, Lord, here am I, send me. I don't know what I can contribute, but here I am. So Lord, I pray for that people. I pray for the people that are maybe not so willing. I pray that you will come and convince them, Father. I pray that those who are willing, Father, that you would bless them. I pray for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit on these three congregations, Father. Lord, we trust that they will impact the neighborhoods tremendously, Father. I pray that they would see, that the people would see their good works and worship you and glorify you. I pray, Father, that they will be gospels with legs walking around wherever they go, sharing the good news. I pray that where they go, Father, that they would light fires where they go. Every conversation, Lord. And Lord, I pray
that they would be people that are more in the Holy of Holies. I pray that they will be people that enjoy you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.